Okay, so we're in Hebrews 2:14. Since therefore the children who are of a learning age have shared in common a quality of flesh and blood, and himself in like manner, he also had a partnership. He shared, he was held with the same things, a quality of flesh and blood, in order that through his being put to death, being caused to die, he might, and then it says the word destroy. See that? Is the devil destroyed? That's a bad translation. This word is, it's the word for activity and then kata. He's going to come down on the activity of the one that had the manifest might. That next word for power is the manifest might. He showed out manifestly that he had a demonstrated manifest power, having of the previously mentioned being caused to die. So Satan, the devil, had a manifest power to put fear, we're going to get to that, fear into the mind of people that they fear being caused to die. He says, this one is the devil. And the word devil is the word slanderer. He's the one that goes up into the third heaven day and night and is slandering who? Christians. And one of the things that he causes to slander the Father by slandering Christians in this context is their fear of dying. I can make them not fear to die, but Christ took on a quality of flesh and blood so that he can come down on the activity of the devil. He can render, I mean, this is a better translation, render inoperative. He could render inoperative the one. So it's looking at, what is he rendering inoperative? A person. Who is the person that he's rendering inoperative? The slander. What is he operating and what is he doing? He had a manifest might over being caused to die. Now in verse 15, any questions on that part? Now it says, and release. It says the word deliver. That word deliver is a legal term. It means to acquit someone. So that he might release by acquittal the ones, these, who's the these? In the context, what do we do in building this message? The these in this context are the brethren, and also they're called the paedia, that he might acquit. This is like looking at a legal court of law and they say, well, this guy is guilty. And then they say, no, he's acquitted. He's released by acquittal. It's a legal term. As many as a quality of fear. Why does it say a quality of fear? How, anybody remember the other messages? There's all different kinds of fear. There's terror, shaking in your boots. There's different words for fear. There's self-preservation fear, which is a good thing. So you don't go in front of a bus and get splattered. It's a good thing. But this is a phobia, a quality of fear, a phobia concerning being put to death. through all of their life, their living. Now the next word. Through all of their lifetime were subject. See that word subject? That word subject is another legal term. It means to be liable. When you're guilty, then you have a liability. That word subject is to be legally liable. Now let's go back into the context. Why was I legally liable to be caused to die? Because Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned, his sin was imputed to all humanity. So Christ took on flesh and blood that through his sacrifice of both physical dying and offering his blood, notice they're two different things. He took on flesh and blood. He died physically on the cross and he rose again the third day and took his blood to the third heaven and offered it to the Father. All of that was to do what? Because I am liable, I am guilty, I deserve to physically die. But that he might acquit me of that legal responsibility and get that off of my mind so that I can focus on spiritual things and the promises of God and I can grow. So let's go on. Verse 15, and release by acquittal those as many as by a quality of fear, a phobia concerning being put to death through all of their living were held liable to slavery. To all of their life were held liable to bondage, the King James. What this word is, enslavement. A phobia, a fear that enslaves through all of your life to fear. This enslavement in this context is an enslavement to fear. My time is out, so I think we're going to have to visit this again. I'm about halfway through. I got a lot to go because we got to ask ourselves, how does Christ deliver us? Boy, I got a whole other section on this. It's through revelation and through promises. But right here, let's go here and look at, how do I want to end this? Do all human beings fear being caused to die? The answer is no. We'll look at it next week. Romans chapter 5, it says some would even dare to die for a righteous man. So some people are even willing to go to physical death for a righteous person that they do. You have soldiers falling on grenades. You have them doing this all the time, probably right now. But in this context, who is the one that's causing this fear of the dying process? Satan. So we're going to have to look at, when we come back next time, how did Christ deliver, the Lord in table, how did Christ deliver the paedia, the children, from the manifest might of Satan and from the fear? Well, we're going to study from the book of Revelation and comparing to other scriptures. He does it through revelation, New Testament revelation, and through promises. that you need to direct faith to. That's the next message. So what we got down today, maybe, is that it says Christ took on flesh and blood in order that you may grow. And what we can establish right now, it's not just a born one, it's one who's of an age to grow. If you are being totally enslaved to a fear of the dying process, it's going to hinder your growth. So the first aspect of Christian maturity is having victory over the sin nature, using confession and thanksgiving, and then having victory, going on to have victory in a fear of death, over a fear of death. If you're totally dominated and enslaved to a fear of death, your mind is not going to focus on spiritual things. All right. That's where we'll stop. So if the men will come for the Lord's table, if the man will come. Yeah, you can. This is the first Sunday of the month, and the first Sunday of the month we have the Lord's table. And it contains two elements. The first element is the bread. And in the order of the upper room when Christ ate the supper with them, he did do the bread first. And in the bread, he said, "This is my body." But he didn't clarify that until through the Apostle Paul, he gave direct revelation. The risen Christ gave direct revelation to the Apostle Paul and said that this symbol, this bread, is that we all share and hold in common concerning the body of Christ. We all have that. That we, being many, are one, and we have that same inheritance in Christ, the same potential in Christ. Tim, would you return thanks for the bread?
Father, thank you as we can come today and do these things and reflect on these elements at the table of the communion, as we can look at the bread and what it represents, the body of Christ, and that we are part of the body of Christ. And we thank you for the baptizing work of the Spirit who place us into that body. We thank you for the things that result from that position we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is in place for you. This do in remembrance, a memorial concerning me.' Shall we partake?" We're going to be relating in the message when we come back next week about a quality of blood. He purchased the new covenant. And the the New Testament, the new covenant that is by blood. There are many people today that are denying the blood of Christ. I'll tell you some of them that would surprise you. One was, he's passed away now, but Dr. Woolward. Dr. Woolward from Dallas in his commentary said it's not necessarily literal blood that went up there, but he offered himself, he says, not the blood. That's wrong. That's wrong. There is blood. And there is blood in the third heaven. And it purchased the fact that we can be under the new covenant, not under law, under the new covenant, and be changed into Christ's likeness. Dan, would you return thanks for the cup?
Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to meet together and to take part of these elements. We thank you that we weren't just saved from our sins, but we were saved to this great salvation, to where even now we're being changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ, and this covenant that you give us is purchased by the blood of Christ. And we thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Okay.
Again, reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament or covenant by my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance, a memorial concerning me." Shall we partake? We're going to go downstairs. I saw a bunch of people exiting to get ready for our Thanksgiving potluck. So that sounds like fun. I like turkey and all the fixins, and sounds like a good time. So they got done the supper and had the Lordian table and went out singing. We're going to go out with a singing heart going down to our dinner and our time together. Let's pray. Father, as we meet together downstairs and share in common the things of being related in the body of Christ, and then share in common the things concerning the new covenant, we thank you, our Father, that we can glorify your character and your name through how we act towards each other. And we thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen.